Good morning. My name is Grace, and this morning we'll be reading from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Morning, everyone. I was hanging with my kids on the street last week, riding skateboards, and this lady walked past and said, What, you training them up for the Olympics? And I'm always up for a good chat, so 30 minutes later, my kids were inside going, oh, Dad's at it again, yeah. We went from the Olympics to religion to the scriptures. She was a Jewish background lady, although she was struggling with God. She'd had a lot of trouble in her life. She talked about family trouble. She talked about stuff going on in Gaza. She talked about news, even fake news. And it was as if she was looking for someone to talk to and to offload her troubles. And for me, it's as if I was looking for someone to talk to about God who lifts your burdens. So it was a good conversation, and I really wish she was able to be here today, because we open up the first sentence in our passage today, and Jesus says this, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is great news to lift burdens. And you might have come here today with your own burdens. Jesus is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus knows that his friends are troubled. Why do we know that the friends are troubled? Well, we've already heard Jesus saying in the Gospel of John that he came from heaven to earth, and now he's going back to heaven to be with his Father. And these disciples who've given up their lives to follow Jesus are starting to hear about betrayal and death, and they're thinking, trouble's ahead, this is hard, Jesus is leaving, they're anxious, they're troubled. Jesus says to them, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I've just added the alternative translation there, and if you look in the footnote of any Bible, it'll say this is an alternative translation, calling for you to trust in God and to trust in Jesus. And if you look elsewhere in the Bible, you hear things like, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray and bring your, you know, troubles to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So he's saying to his troubled friends, I've got somewhere you can redirect your trouble. You can take your troubles and bring them to God. You can take your troubles and trust in Jesus. This is generally a good way for all of us to handle our troubles. It's comfort that we have that through faith we can turn to a God who cares. But it doesn't take away their trouble, does it? Because Jesus is still leaving. They're about to face hardship. And I know that a lot of people go into difficulty prayerfully, and it doesn't necessarily change the trouble that they're going through. I just read in The Economist this week about the Ukraine war. They were talking about how the soldiers, the Ukrainian soldiers going into Russia, were actually praying as they went. It said this: "The soldiers chanted the Lord's Prayer and clicked rosary beads as they advanced. The newest recruits were almost paralyzed with fear." You see, there's the prayer and then there's the fear. "But the men tramped on together 10 kilometers a day, crossing fields and railway lines every night, replacing forward units in hastily dug positions ahead of them. 3 days, three hikes, three rotations. On the third night, the Russian glide bombs hit. Everything was burning. Arms here, legs there. 12 men in the company died immediately." That was just last week's news. Now, it's not uncommon to hear stories like this of people going into great trouble prayerfully. They're praying to God. There's something meaningful about praying to God and trusting God in those times, even though they're still going into war. Trouble is trouble. It doesn't disappear with faith. But Jesus is giving you somewhere to direct your trouble. Even Jesus was troubled. If you go back 2 chapters, this is what we already had heard Jesus saying 2 chapters ago. "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. "Father, glorify your name." So Jesus is troubled to the depth of his soul, but he is turning to God and trusting God's plan. And he invites us to do the same. When he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled," take it in the way he meant it. He's not saying faith should eliminate all of your fears. Faith should take away all your anxieties. Faith should take away all of your troubles. He knows they're struggling. He knows they're afraid. And he's comforting them. So if you've come here today burdened with trouble, then take it in the way Jesus meant it. He assumes trouble. He assumes anxiety. And we are all part of one human race where we're all facing degrees of struggle one to another. I'm reminded last week that we had the seminar on Sunday, the care seminar run at Christchurch about addiction. And this is the tragedy in society, is that there are so many wrongs and so many burdens that some of us are struggling with addictions that we'd like to get help with, because we're so troubled that we would like to turn somewhere to help. I understand a lot of people might not have come to that seminar because turning up for a friend and being found out might be the kind of thing that you weren't quite ready for. And I just want to say we recorded that seminar. It's available, but take it in the intent of why we run seminars like that. They're actually there to help you, not to judge you. And so you can listen to that and reach out if you'd like help. And in the same way, Jesus wasn't there to judge, but to help and to save and to comfort. And he turned to these disciples who were anxious and troubled genuinely, and he invited them to turn to faith in God and to trust him. He invites us to do the same. So he elaborates with a longer speech about why turning to Jesus will bring comfort. And in this longer speech, there's really two promises he makes in our chapter today. He goes on next week and the weeks to come with more content about why his departure is for their good. But today we get two reasons, two promises, and I just want to highlight those. So the two promises are a place for you and greater works. Just can I get that outline on the screen, please? A place for you and greater works. So this is where we're headed today. Hopefully it'll come up. But a place for you is the next promise that Jesus makes. So after saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he says, verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is a very common Bible reading at funerals, isn't it? Because within a Christian funeral, there is this genuine hope in the face of tragedy and trouble that God the Father has many rooms in his house, and he wants to invite people in to his many rooms. Jesus is comforting his disciples in preparation for his own funeral, saying, it's for your good that I'm actually going, because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to prepare a room for you, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to be with me where I am. So it's really important that I go. It's for your good. He doesn't take away their troubles, but he does transform their troubles by giving them a vision of what's the future, by showing you what is the end goal, the hope of heaven. He doesn't say too much about what heaven's like. He doesn't describe the shape of the room, what paintings are on the wall. When you look outside, what's the view going to look like? But he does say, it's my Father's house. And he says, I'm going to take you to be with me where I am. And that's the focus of heaven, isn't it? It's about being with God the Father, being with Jesus, God the Son. And that's the focus. God will look at you on that final day and say, there's a place for you here. There's a place for you here. And Jesus is comforting his disciples with that amazing news. But what about us? Is he just saying it to the disciples, or is there a room for us too? It's something that we all want to have confidence in, that there is a place for us on that final day. Is there a place? Have you been following the social media around Raygun, the breakdancer? It's all over the place, isn't it? Because her dance moves, the kangaroo, in the Olympics, I've got a whole lot of people saying, well, she's maybe not up to the quality of the other dancers, and everyone's, you know, saying, there's no place for you. There's no place for you. This is like a social media conversation. It'd be pretty hard for her to hear all this, people saying there's no place for you. You don't belong there. And I think that's how a lot of us feel when we think of walking into heaven. There's voices, maybe they're our own voices or the people around us saying, you don't belong there. There's no place for you. There's no place. You do not belong there. You're not good enough, not religious enough, not moral enough. And maybe you're right. Maybe you don't deserve to be there. Maybe none of us do. In fact, we've already heard Jesus say to the religious leaders who are like the super religious and who thought of themselves as super moral, they were walking around saying to themselves, well, I deserve a place because I'm religious and I'm moral. And this is what Jesus said to them already. He said, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now that's heavy. And that's scary to think about. That religious people and moral people would expect that there'd be a room, and Jesus would say, there's no place for you. If the religious and the super moral don't get a room, well, who can? Who is good enough? In the end, it's not about how good you are or how moral you are or how righteous you are or how holy and how religious you are. Because what we see, that the way, and it's written here, right here in our passage, the way is Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Morals are not the way. No one deserves to enter off their own religion and off their own morals, but there is one way, and Jesus says it like this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of people think religion and being religious will lead them to have a room in heaven. They say, well, you go, or maybe some people say all religions will get you there in the end, you know. You could go north or south or west, doesn't matter. They'll all get you to God's house. But if God's house is east, going west will not get you to God's house. And Jesus saying, I'm east, I'm the only way, I'm the true way, I'm the living way. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Pharisees didn't get there because they didn't want to go east. They didn't want to receive Jesus. They rejected Jesus. But everyone who goes east is welcome. That's the message and teaching of Jesus. He's saying, no matter how ordinary you are, no matter how, you know, bad your backstory is, that actually, you come with me and I'll never drive you away. We already read this in chapter 6. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. So in the end, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about your morals. It's about what he does for you to prepare your room. And so the invitation is to believe Jesus, to follow Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus, and he will take you to be with him where he is. He will come back for you. He has guaranteed to prepare a room for you if you will be a follower of Jesus. I love the footage of Raygun, the breakdancer, dancing in the closing ceremony. Did you see everyone was like getting around her and she was up on shoulders and dancing, and it was almost like she was right at home. After all of the, you know, negative messaging and all that kind of stuff, she just looked really at home, and it was nice to see. Because in the end, she might not be the best dancer in the competition, but it didn't matter that day. They embraced her and they welcomed her. And you might feel like an imposter walking into heaven. You might not feel worthy. You might not feel like you deserve to be there. You might have voices in your head saying, you don't belong here, you don't belong here. But what matters is whether Jesus comes to get you and take you to be with him where he is. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. That's the promise. If you trust him, he will take you. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. This is comforting even while you go through hardship, because it gives you ultimate hope. But I want to come now to the other promise, the second promise in our passage today, that Jesus says, it's actually good for me to go away. And here's the second reason. It has to do with greater works. And I'm picking it up in chapter 14, verse 12. So chapter 14, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. What are the greater things that his followers will do? That's the first question everyone wants to ask when they read this section. Well, what would it look like for Christians to do the greater works than Jesus? And I'll come back to that in a second, but I just want to highlight the word because. You see there near the end of the sentence, because I'm going to the Father. The reason that you'll be doing greater works is because Jesus leaves. Because Jesus goes, we know the rest of the story. If we keep reading, Jesus dies, he rises, he ascends to the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit, and as a result, greater works are done. What are the greater works? It sounds amazing that Jesus would go to pave the way so that the church could do greater works. But what are the greater works? Well, a lot of people assume that he's talking about miracles, because Jesus did some pretty impressive miracles. And on face value, that's not a bad way. Like, it might seem like an obvious reading that it would be that you'd go on as a church to do great miracles, greater than Jesus. But that's the trouble, is the word greater. I mean, how can it be said in any true sense of the word in the last 2,000 years of church history that the church has done greater miracles than walking on water and raising the dead? Even in churches that report lots of miracles, which are all very exciting, it's hard to show any location, any place, any time that has a greater degree of miracles than what we've seen in the life and ministry of Jesus. There's another interpretation, and it's the interpretation that's been more common down through church history and through the ages. And it's to link what Jesus is saying about the greater works here to what he says in the rest of his speech, and especially in chapter 16 when he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. He says this, verse 7 of chapter 16, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. This is a picture of the greater works that Jesus has paved the way for by sending the Holy Spirit. You read all in the context of that chapter, John 16. It's about them being those who go out and testify to what Jesus has done, them going out and sharing the good news. And as they go out to share the good news, the Holy Spirit's at work internationally in a global way, convicting and drawing people to faith in Jesus. So if you remember in the book of Acts, 3,000 people became Christian in one day. Whereas in the life of Jesus, the 3 years combined, at the end of his life, there weren't 3,000 believers following Jesus. This is the greater work, but it's Jesus' work. They don't take the credit for it, because Jesus goes to heaven and sends the Holy Spirit to work through the disciples so that they would go on to do a great international work. And even today, as we've heard about through Kenyans in Chester Hill and other things, God is continuing to do a great work, an international work, and it's our privilege to be involved in it. It's exciting to hear about Chester Hill. It's exciting to hear what God is doing in other parts of Sydney. And it's great that we had this week of prayer just gone, where we had a week of prayer for mission, because as we trust God's will and look at what he's promising, the greater works that he has in mind is for the church in this day to continue the great works of spreading the gospel so more people can find the way, the truth, and the life, and by believing, have life in his name. This is very exciting to be part of this mission. There's greater things that Jesus has prepared for us while we wait. So do not be troubled. You know the end game. You know the future. You know that there's a room. This is kind of a summary of where we're headed to, where we've been today. Do not be troubled. You know that there is a room for all who believe. In the meantime, while you face troubles, be involved in the greater works. Help people turn to Jesus and believe. Now, I hope that helps and comforts you. And I wish my friend walking down the street had heard all this. It was a good end of the conversation, actually. We were both pretty keen to continue the chat. And I said, well, next time you're walking past, let's pick this up. She's like, yeah. She even like had 5 missed calls while we were chatting, and she just kept hanging up on them. She's like, it's good, we'll keep chatting. But I hadn't seen my kids in 3 days. This is the worst thing. I'm there with my kids playing on the street, and I hadn't seen them in 3 days. I've been away. I was like, I really got to go see my kids. You're always torn in life, aren't you? So we finished the chat on a good note. I went in and hung out with my kids. But how much, I just can't help myself. I'm there for 30 minutes talking to this random on the street because I want her to know the way, the truth, and the life. What we're hearing here is, don't just take it in for yourself that you might not be troubled. Go on and be involved in the greater works. Now, if you're here today as someone who comes without confidence, without faith, with lots of doubts, I just want to, for a minute, address you and say how good it is that you're here today. We actually are just so glad when anyone walks in our doors. And we love any opportunity to help people look into Jesus, because we are convinced that Jesus actually transforms lives and gives hope for the future. But a lot of people say that they can't change their beliefs. A lot of people feel stuck in where they are. They look at the person next to them and say, well, they've taken a leap of faith, but I can't take that leap of faith. But that's not how faith works. In fact, next week during this service, we're going to baptize a man from a Muslim background. He's come to Australia, looked into Jesus, and become convicted that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He changed his faith. It's possible to change faith. It's possible to grow in faith. How does it work? Well, we heard earlier from the guy with the grey hair and the long nose, straight nose, that when you look at Jesus, you come to know God. And that's because he was looking in this passage, and I'm really wrapping it up here. I just want to show you that this is what he said from chapter 14, our passage today, verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. You might be here today going, well, if I see God, that'll be enough. Jesus answers, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And he goes on to explain lots more about the relationship between the Father and the Son. But I think the bottom line for you today is, if you've come here without confident faith, the invitation is, look at Jesus. And the way it works is that the more you look at Jesus, not only do you start to see something of his importance and start to grow in some confidence in him, you even begin to start to feel like you're getting to know God. Because Jesus is one with the Father and he reveals all the aspects of God. So as I wrap up and draw things to a close, it's the same way for all of us. Jesus, faith in Jesus, see and believe. I'd add to this series title, See, Believe and Tell, because if you've come to believe, then go and tell everyone what you believe, that they might have their burdens lifted, and that we together might know the way, the truth, and the life. As we've heard, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus.